In parallel to the encouraging trends in development noted above, scientists began to ask themselves, are the processes underlying our development path sustainable? Even if one accepts that remarkable progress has been made during the past half century in improving the lot of vast segments of humanity, are the processes and the policies that have produced these trends sustainable? Regrettably, the answer increasingly seems to be no. Among environmentalists, the focus is on climate change, biodiversity loss, and pollution. While the Earth has self-correcting mechanisms and the physical processes underpinning changes in the environment have huge inertia, the growing consensus in the scientific community is that the trends are not sustainable. To take just a few examples, global carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels have sharply accelerated since 2000, reflecting a quickening of growth of the global economy, a sharp rise in energy consumption in China, and the weakening of natural carbon sinks, such as forests and seas. Not surprisingly, large volumes of the Arctic have melted. An accelerated flow in Greenland and Antarctic glaciers is contributing to rising sea levels. Satellite observations of the Arctic ice cap show a significant reduction in the ice cover of 39% between 1980 and 2017. Even when world economic growth came to a halt in 2009 because of the global financial crisis, these perturbing trends were not reversed, since the present scale of human activity was only marginally and temporarily affected, and world economic growth has taken off since then. In the absence of other measures aimed directly at reducing emissions, only a sustained deep depression, such as that witnessed during the 1929-33 period, might have an impact on the pace of accumulation of carbon dioxide emissions. However, expecting an economic depression to help mitigate the challenges of global warming is hardly a commendable solution involving incalculable social costs. The environmentalist Bill McKibben has recently reflected on the perils of climate change, showing that wildfires, heat waves, and rising sea levels risk making large tracts of the Earth uninhabitable. Our expanding population will need to find ways to live in a shrinking planet. Human progress is reversing with a rise in the chronically malnourished as food supplies fail and conflict spreads. Record storms wreak havoc in coastal areas. Sea levels are rising fast, forcing massive relocation. Cities are running out of water, and record heat waves may soon reach the point where it could be lethal to stay outside too long. Driven by our CO2 emissions, maintained by a fossil fuel industry, with full knowledge of the consequences, which raises serious ethical issues if not financial responsibility, catastrophic change is accelerating as never before on our path to self-destruction. At least, that is the sense of the warnings issued by McKibben. Even beyond purely environmental concerns, there are other forces that are already having a major impact on the economic system that has been at the center of the progress achieved in the past half century. Key among these are population growth and the corresponding pressures on resources. According to the World Energy Outlook of the International Energy Agency, energy demand will grow by 30% by 2040, reflecting the addition of some 2.2 billion people to the world's population, and the corresponding needs for housing, transportation, heating, lighting, food production, waste disposal, and the push for sustained increases in the standards of living. Because the mothers that will bear these 2.2 billion children are already alive today, this expected increase in the world's population, barring some unexpected calamity, will materialize largely among the poor and will be concentrated in cities in developing countries. Beyond the inevitable pressures on resources, rapid population growth in the next couple of decades will lead to a broad range of challenges for governments, businesses, and civil society. For instance, in the Middle East and North Africa, including Iran, high fertility rates and the highest rates of population growth in the world will put enormous strains on labor markets. These countries already have the world's highest rates of unemployment. Simply to prevent these rates from rising further, it will be necessary to create well over 100 million new jobs within 15 years, an extremely tall order, with failure leading to major political and social instability. In sharp contrast, the populations of countries such as Italy, Japan, and others in the industrial world will continue to shrink, which in turn will put huge pressures on public finances as states attempt to cope with growing numbers of pensioners. Powerful demonstration effects are also at work. The spread of instant communication and the internet have led billions of people in China, India, Latin America, and other parts of the developing world to aspire to lifestyles and patterns of consumption similar to those of the industrial world. Furthermore, these populations are often impatient and expect their governments to deliver rising levels of prosperity, implicitly pushing for a more equitable distribution of the world's resources. At present, 20% of the world population living in developed countries consume over 85% of the world's goods and services. Along with these demand pressures, there are emerging supply constraints as well. World cereal production per person has been declining since the late 1980s. It is estimated that by 2025, the number of people living in regions with absolute water scarcity will have risen to some 1.8 billion. Climate change, soil erosion, and overfishing are expected to reduce food production, already driving the major surges in food prices, which we have seen in recent years. Thus, the fundamental development question which we face is how to reconcile the legitimate aspirations of citizens in the developing world for the high economic growth rates that in the post-war period led to such remarkable improvements in the global standards of living, with the challenges of an economic system under severe stress as a result of the pressures put on it by that very economic growth. The economist Paul Collier, in his book The Bottom Billion, Why the Poorest Countries Are Failing and What Can Be Done About It, persuasively argued that, and I quote, development is about giving hope to ordinary people that their children will live in a society that has caught up with the rest of the world. Take that hope away, and the smart people will use their energies not to develop their societies, but to escape from it. And then he gives the case of a million Cubans who left their island country.